We've been going through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we've come to one of my favorite parts of this study on the fruit of the Spirit. The last 2 weeks we have considered that every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is indeed produced by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in the believer. It begins when He sheds abroad His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when God sheds abroad His love, the natural outworking of that will be joy. I mean, if you recognize that you've been loved with an everlasting love, a love that secured you by the very blood of God's own only begotten Son, that ought to fill your heart with joy each and every day. If there's anybody that ought to have a song in their heart, rejoicing in their lips, praises that fill their day, it is a child of the King. Somebody who has been loved by the Father, redeemed by the Son, regenerated by the Spirit, we ought to be a joyful people. Now the next fruit that we're going to consider, the next aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. And really I believe that this, in this particular setting, peace has to do with the inward disposition. This peaceful disposition of mind and heart that comes from an assurance that we've been forgiven and that God is able to supply every need that we have, believing that He cares for us, it ought to make us a peaceful people. Now, I like a definition that I found in this book here, The Fruit of the Spirit, by Tom Ross. somebody said, what books do you think are good? What do you believe? And I said, well, I believe the Bible from beginning to end, and I also believe every book I've written. Now, some of them I've had to change a little bit because I was mistaken when I first wrote things because I'm fallible. I hate to bust your bubble, but I am. But I like this definition that Brother Ross gives. And I am kin to him. On page 39, the peace produced in the heart of believers by the Holy Spirit may be defined as a sweet composure, tranquil contentment, and an absolute trust in the goodness of God in every circumstance of life. Several times in Scripture, God is referred to as the God of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So it's only natural that He would desire this quality to be reproduced in the lives of His children by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. So it makes sense that the spiritual fruits of peace with God and the peace of God would flow from our faith union with Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Every believer is commanded by God to have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which requires them to walk in paths of peace, testifying to others of the sweet peace that only God can give through the gospel of grace. Now, I believe that peace, biblically, has different aspects to it. There is peace with God. And I've spent a great deal of time the last four Sundays preaching on the doctrine of reconciliation and how that we who were enemies, who were hostile, who were carnal, who were opposed to God, needed to be reconciled, brought back into the good favor of God through the power of the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection. This must be the foundation of all peace. You have to have peace with God before you ever enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. You must, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through His blood, through His life, through His resurrection. Peace with God came at the expense of the life and blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He bought us. And that's the only way that you and I can be accepted by God and considered to be His friends, not His enemies. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I believe in Galatians 5 that it's not directly referring to the judicial aspect of peace, the legal aspect of justification by faith. I believe that it has to do more with the internal work of the Spirit with the Word of God that produces this tranquility, this trust. And so tonight we're going to deal with two basic themes: how to promote peace, and then also how to preserve and pursue peace in our daily lives. Now, the way you promote peace, and a lot of this, every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is connected to the Word of God and to the life of Jesus Christ and to the work of the Holy Spirit. But if you're going to promote peace in your life, you got to be in this book. Psalm 119, verse 65 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Look over at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2. We are going to look at several scriptures tonight, so be ready. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 2, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You want to live a peaceful life? Get in the Word of God. Let it be your guide. Let it be your instruction book. And as long as you're doing what God says, then you're going to live a life of peace. I guarantee you, the times that you have been out of sorts, out of fellowship, it's been when you've been out of God's Word. When you're disobedient to God's truth. So, I can't emphasize this enough. I've done it my entire ministry. You've got to get in the Word of God, and it needs to get in you. If you're going to be fruitful, if you're going to have a peaceful life, it has to be, a main part of it has to be the Word of the living God. I encourage people to read your Bible through. Now, there's a whole lot of different ways that you can study your Bible. This is the way I've done it. I read my Old Testament through once, and my New Testament through three times a year on average. And I've been doing that now for almost 40 years. And I believe that it's a And then I go back and I study things. Because that's what you got to do when you're a preacher. You got to have something to say when you get up and spout off four times a week. So you got to get in to study the Word of God. But I like reading it as an overview. And it refreshes me. It reminds me. It encourages me. But you're not going to have any peace in your life if you're contrary to God's Word. If you're not studying God's Word, you're not going to have a peaceful life. You're going to be messed up. You ain't going to think right. Now, which brings me to the next point. If you're going to have peace in your heart, and look at the condition that the world is in today. Everybody's in an uproar. People are hateful. They're threatening. They are worried. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to talk to each other. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The world is in a constant state of turmoil and filth and depravity. We've got to be completely different from that. And you know where it starts? What you think about. If you're filling your heart and your mind with the Word of God, it will naturally cause you to meditate and think deeply upon the things of God. But if your mind is constantly on the things of this world, on your finances, your worries, your frets, the condition, that the circumstances that are around you, now naturally, I mean, people think of, you have kids. You have grandkids. You're always thinking and praying and hoping that the Lord will be with them and help them and strengthen them. And there's times that you get worried and you get discouraged and you get disappointed. You got to keep your mind on the Lord. If you're going to have peace through the most difficult time, I always encourage people to memorize Isaiah chapter 26. I preached this, A Life of Peace. I think I preached this 2 years ago. You remember the date, Joe? Exactly? Oh, I thought maybe you'd had it written down or something. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Man, if you can get a hold of that, if you can get your mind right and get it on God, get it on His glory, His power, His strength, His ability, His grace, His love, His holiness. You know what? Everything else, you'll realize that He has a handle on everything that's going on in your life. And it comes down to remembering who God is, what He's able to do, and what He's already done in your life and in the lives of others as you read the Word of God. Our God is good and gracious. And if you get in the book and you think deeply upon Him and get your mind on God, then you know what? You're going to find yourself living a much more peaceful life. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Jesus said that if you're born of they which are born again are born of the Spirit. And I believe the Spirit of God will lead you and direct you into a spiritual life with your mind on the things of God, the glory of God, and the greatness of God, the instruction, the commandments, the laws of God. And I believe the more saturated we are in our thought life, what we think about, what we allow in, we'll have a greater degree of peace. So the Word promotes peace. What you think about. And then naturally, the next thing is if you're in the Word and if your mind is on the Lord, what does that naturally do? It causes you to trust Him. When your mind's on Him and you recognize how great He is, that He has everlasting strength, you can trust Him with everything. You can trust Him with your family. You can trust Him with your finances. You can trust Him with your troubles. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. People are really worried right now. The direction that the United States seems to be going is one that is completely contrary to God. Do you realize that if they would have shut down Planned Parenthood with all the other businesses that they shut down, they would have saved 3,300 lives every single day. In 2 months, they probably would have saved more lives than the Chi-Com 19 virus has taken. But we live in a nation that shuts down businesses and keeps open Planned Parenthood. Something not right about that. God sees all that. It's wickedness. It's ungodliness. And it's the reason why people don't have any peace. People who have murderous designs, they're not going to be peaceful. We, in the United States of America, we are trending toward atheism, godlessness. If you don't believe there's no God, there's no accountability. You can do whatever you want and feel like you're fully justified. And we're seeing a lot of that in our world today. There's no moral standard. And people are in the main distrustful. I am. I'm distrustful of men. I'm distrustful of anybody that would pay even lip service to Karl Marx. Or to, who's the guy that wrote Origin of the Species? Charles Darwin. I don't trust atheists. I don't trust evolutionists. But I do, I'll tell you what, I trust God. I trust His Word. I believe in the book. I've seen so many promises applied to my life that have encouraged me and helped me. God has changed the entire direction of my life. I'm going to trust Him. I trust Him with the climate. I don't go to bed every night thinking, oh, I wonder if the Earth's surface raised a fraction of a degree and that the polar bear's ice is going to melt some more tonight. I don't even think. God has it all under control. Yes, there's climate change. It's because God is changing it. He's in control of it. Not men. I don't trust men who say that they can control the climate. They're liars. That's a farce. Men can't control the climate. They can't control the weather. You can't pass a law against hurricanes. Or blizzards, or winter storms. God's in charge of that. Say, well, why would God bring severe weather? Judgment. That's why He does it. And we deserve it as a nation. Trust. With all the turmoil that's in our world right now, I'm going to go to bed tonight believing God. And I'm going to pillow my head on His sovereignty. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. See, somebody that's trusting God, whose mind is stayed on Him, you can go to bed tonight knowing that God's in control. And it ought to give you a sense of tranquility, consolation, peace, even in the worst times. You know what? Prayer is another way of promoting peace in your life. Jesus talked a lot about it. And He said in John 16, you know, I think our Wednesday night services have been improved. When we came back and we put prayer as a priority, we sing our hymns, and then we spend time in the secret place of the Most High God, pouring out our hearts as a church before the Almighty, before any other preaching, before anything else. And I think God has blessed that. You know, prayer, if you seek God, Jesus said this in John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know, if you read back in John chapter 16, He's talking, He promises in chapter 14, 15, 16, comfort and peace in the Spirit and in prayer. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, it'll keep your hearts, your affections, your desires, and your minds, your thought life in Christ Jesus. We need to be a praying people if we're going to be a peaceful people. And then another thing I think is so important about promoting peace in your life is doing right. Just living right. Look over at Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. You see, when you're not doing right, you feel guilty. You get convicted. You're troubled. Your conscience bothers you. But when you're doing right, you have a greater sense of peace. And the Bible indicates that Isaiah 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's judicial peace. The righteousness of Christ produces peace with God. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. The righteousness of Christ combined with practical righteousness in your everyday life, it makes for a peaceful existence. Now, quickly, how do you pursue and preserve peace? And I think this is important in the way in which we live. You have peace with God. You've got personal inward peace. We talk about how that's promoted through the Word, through prayer, through righteous living, through your thought life. And then there's also a practical outward peace in your relationship with others. You see, the peace of God that passes all understanding should spill out of you in the way that you interact with other people. In fact, the Bible commands us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It says this. Should have had it memorized. Once I see it, I'll probably remember it. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Hebrews 12, 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. You know how you preserve, how you pursue peace? You know how you can promote that in your everyday life? Be an edifier. Be an encourager. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Edify, build up, encourage, rather than being critical or being a disturber of the peace. Proverbs 16:7 is another one that relates to edifying and encouraging. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Another way that you can preserve peace is practicing what the Bible never calls it this, but men do, and I think it's a good statement. Following the golden rule. Now, I've heard some people say, you do unto others before they do unto you. or something like that. That's not the golden rule. The golden rule says this. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Boy, Josh would love this if people that call in to, Josh, you ought to write that down. And because think about people that are getting ready to cancel their DirecTV. They're mean and surly and hateful, and they call him and call him every name in the book. And Josh is expected to be. And I've heard him on a call. He'll say,
this is Josh.
I'm so pleased to help you today. Now, I've taught him a few tricks. Because I shouldn't say a trick, because this ain't a trick. You kill people with kindness. I remember when I used to be a meat cutter and people would get so angry. And I would just be as sweet as sugar pie. And it would turn them. And you know, there's something to that. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And then you got to have a measure of humility like Jesus Christ and meekness. It's a hard thing for a lot of people, especially people who got a type A personality. It's difficult to be meek, to be humble. But you know, the Lord wants us to learn that. Didn't He say that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Rest, peace, in meekness. And in lowliness. I think about the Apostle Paul, how he said when he was talking to the Ephesian elders, how that he had gone from house to house warning them, and he did it in humility and with tears. And how that affected them. We'll close with this statement from Brother Ross. Think how much better our relationships in our homes, churches, and workplace would be if we were earnest in pursuing and preserving peace. Jesus promises blessings and happiness to those engaged in peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And God has promised a rich reward for those believers who are spiritually mature enough to pursue and preserve peace. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. If our final destination is a place of peace and rest in heaven, to dwell eternally with the Prince of Peace, then certainly it's in our best interest to diligently pursue personal and practical peace until we reach the land of glory. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Let's all stand. No, we don't have to stand. Let's have a word of prayer before we stand. Just make sure you're awake.